When I started preparing this sermon, I wasn't sure what I wanted to call it. And so I finally said, well, why don't you just call it by the words in the Bible? And so it was going to be called Go and Tell. But the more I prepared on this sermon, the more I thought about it, I gave it another name, and that is the Gospel of the Second Chance. The passage that Chip just read, particularly the seventh verse, has two very important words. They're verbs. That means there's action. And the words are go and tell. These two verbs were great words around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is that these two words are the heart of the gospel. We just finished studying 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the resurrection chapter of the Bible. And when Paul was writing that chapter, he said in beginning in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all." And let me just make a little side trip here. There are those who want to believe somehow, some reason, that all of the gospel there is included in verses 3 and 4. That is not true. Paul preached the gospel all through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and all of the letters that he wrote, and everything in the Bible is the gospel. But to Paul, this part was special. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, that He was born, that He was buried. That's what comes second, isn't it? And then He was raised according to the Scripture. In addition to being the heart of the gospel, these two words are the work of the church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. It is the work of the church to go and tell the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who need it. But there's something else that's important too. And that is the fact that it is also the hope of the world. Because without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, without the spreading of the gospel that Jesus Christ gave to us, you and I would be sitting here today, or probably not be sitting here today, because you and I would not have any hope. Because our hope is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy begat us again unto living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. The compelling necessity to go and tell the gospel of Jesus Christ is inherent in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I'll even take it far enough to suggest that the meaning of "He has risen" never gets into our hearts until it gets into our feet. And we go telling the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good news simply will not walk. Good news runs. You ever watch on TV and see this? I hope I don't get sued. This silly magazine company that says, "Oh, you're going to get $5,000 a month for the rest of your life," and they show somebody getting it. Have you ever seen them that they didn't look like they were excited? I haven't. At least I didn't once. I've tried to avoid it since then. But everybody who has something good happen to them, and they're just so happy because it did happen to them. They run to the neighbor. They run to the church house. They run wherever they can run and as long as they can run, and they shout the good news. And that good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes therefrom is the greatest thing that you and I can do. Good news cannot walk, it has to run. One of the great pictures which Scripture paints of the resurrection is not the empty tomb, as wonderful as that is. I think one of the great pictures that we see in connection with the resurrection is the running of two men. One named Peter and one named John, who were running to the grave of Jesus Christ. I would love to have seen their faces. Because they had heard the news. And they were running in the right direction to do the right thing. And I know that there was sunshine in their eyes and in their hearts, in the face of this amazing news that they had received. Don't you know that in their faces these two words were present? Those two verbs, go and tell. And one thing that you and I need to realize is that this is the claim that the world has upon us who are the children of God. Because it is our obligation, it is our duty to go and tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beginning in Houston, Texas, Harris County, Fort Bend County, United States, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But the thing that really strikes my heart here is what was said in the seventh verse that Chip read for us. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Why in the world was Peter given special place in the call from the angel at the tomb of Jesus Christ? He said, you go tell the disciples and Peter. But maybe we can understand that a little better if we go back a little bit in Peter's life. Very close to this time, Peter had asserted his loyalty. Jesus had turned to Peter and he said, Peter, Satan has requested to have you. And Peter spoke up and said, he ain't got me. That's using vernacular, of course. And Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the cock crows tonight, three times you will have asserted and sworn to people that you don't even know me. Peter didn't care much for that. And he responded to Jesus Christ by saying, well, wait a minute, Lord. Let me tell you something. I will go with you even unto death. But we all know the story, don't we? That very night, when Jesus was preparing to go to Calvary, Peter stood out there with groups of people and said, I don't know the man. He abandoned his Lord. And then, even after he had seen the risen Lord with disciples, Peter looked at the situation and he talked to some of the disciples. And here's what he said he was going to do. I'm going fishing. Now, a lot of people, as they study that passage of Scripture, and it's in John chapter 21, verse 3, as they study that and they wonder, why was Peter going fishing? And some suggest that he just thought it was all over and there wasn't any sense in going any farther and he just going to go back to what he used to do and get in his boat and fish. Well, that's a pretty tough way to treat Peter, but it's a possibility. Others say, well, no, it wasn't that at all. It was the fact that Peter was hungry. And so they all went fishing and they were fishing and they needed something to eat, and they thought they'd eat fish. That's probably being a little too liberal with and for Peter. Because six of the others went with him. There were seven there. The one thing I do know is that Peter had already seen the risen Lord, and there were other things that Peter could do in that direction with faith than to go fishing they fished in the night, of course, because that was where the fishermen did their fishing, because they'd catch them at night, and in the morning then they'd be where they could sell them. Peter abandoned that. And in that, I think he abdicated his leadership, or if he exercised it, he led them in the wrong way. Peter had brought dishonor on his profession of attachment to Jesus Christ. And you and I know how those things are generally handled, don't you? And thus we know that it would have been maybe the good thing, maybe the right thing, maybe the common thing for Jesus to do is to say to Peter, Peter, I'm casting you off. You haven't done the things that you should have done. You did some things you shouldn't have done. And I am through with you. For you, Peter, it is over. You know what Peter needed? Peter, like so many of us, needed a new beginning. It was almost as if all of heaven had watched Peter fall. And it's as if all of heaven wanted to help Peter again. And what Peter needed was for one of the heavenly angels to come down and say, tell Peter that he's not left out. Tell Peter that one failure doesn't make a flop. It doesn't end your opportunities. It doesn't end your life. One thing you and I probably all know is that life doesn't give many folks a second chance. You don't believe that? We've got some handsome little boys here. But some of these little boys might not make the baseball team, the little league team. And the coach says, I don't need you. I'm through with you. Go on home. You're not fast enough, you're not big enough, you're not good enough. No second chance for that boy. What about the employee that goes to work thinking he's going to get his payment check? And instead he gets a pink slip. And his boss has said, no more need for you. No second chance for you. For you, it is over. For you, it is through. If you don't believe it, think about the mother and her child who got dumped by a worthless husband for some pretty young thing. Most of us know that in our lives now, where we live, where we work, how we go, the message is, around here, we don't tolerate incompetence. Or you got to get tough to get going. So get out there, get tough, whip them down, do what you got to do. And if you don't, you're through. Or when the going gets tough, the tough gets going, so they better get with it. Three strikes and you're out. And oh, by the way, I'm the umpire and I get to call the strikes. It is a dog-eat-dog world. I have an idea that Peter and all of the people who lived then lived in that same kind of world that many of us live in today. But you know what happened? The Lord provided what Peter needed. Jesus had a rather simple answer to our dog-eat-dog macho society, and that is, then don't live with the dogs. Don't run with the dogs. And you won't have to have at least that problem. To me, I don't know about to you, but to me that makes a great deal of sense. Why in the world should you and I let a bunch of failures tell us what failures we are? The truth of the matter is, you can have a second chance. If you don't believe that, just ask Peter. 1 minute, Peter was so low that I don't think you could have raked up Peter from the concrete with a razor blade. But you know what? The next minute, he was higher in the heavens. Because while they were fishing, they saw somebody standing over the way. They didn't recognize him. They'd had a bad night anyway. They'd fished all night and they hadn't caught a single fish. And whoever it was standing over there said, I tell you what, why don't you just throw it on the other side of the boat? And they did. And this was the second time they got so many they could hardly handle them. John was one of the people on the boat. John, the disciple of love. And he and Peter were friends. And John was the first one to recognize who it was over there, probably because he knew where the fish were. And he wasn't a fisherman. And John turned to Peter and said, it is Jesus. And Peter sort of tightened up his clothes and he went and jumped into the cold waters of the Sea of Galilee. Which this fellow who had been so low was now so high that he didn't want to wait. He wanted to get to Jesus, and so into that cold water he went, and swimming he started. It seems that even the angels wanted this distraught netcaster to know that it wasn't over. The message came loud and clear through the celestial throne room, through the divine courier. And the message, to use today's language, was, Peter, you get to bat again. You're getting a second chance, Peter. There are many Bible scholars who tell us that the book of Mark is really the language of the Apostle Peter. And there's good reason to think that that is in fact the case. Peter provided information and Mark provided writing. If this is true, it was really Peter who penned these two words that day. Go, tell the disciples and Peter. And somehow I just know absolutely because I can hardly read it without the same thing happening to me. And that is that if these were really the words of the Apostle Peter, there must have been some tears wiped away. And there must have been a big lump swallowed in his throat. It's not every day that people get a second chance. Specifically, in our presence here, it's not every day that you get a second chance. Peter must have known that, because in many settings it is a fact of life. But we know what happened with him the next time that he saw Jesus. What led him to that? Gratitude. Gratitude for this second chance that Peter got. It was enough for Peter to carry the gospel, and not just any gospel, the gospel of the second chance, all the way to Rome, where they killed him. Peter, what was still thanking Jesus. And though it is not in Scripture, it is sufficiently in history. Peter was crucified. But he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Savior. Crucify me upside down. And so they did. If you have ever tried to imagine why a man would be crucified upside down, now you know. He did it because Jesus gave him a second chance. It is not every day that you get a second chance, much less have someone who gives you a second chance every day. And that's what Jesus will do with his faithful children. You see, in Jesus, Peter found both. The first, second chance, and second chances thereafter. And what this scripture is telling you is that you can too. All of this is around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the message for you today is He has risen and He wants you. Where are you this hour in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it time for you to look to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Give me a second chance, and I will die for you. If you've never been born into the family of Jesus Christ by faith, repentance, confession, and immersion for the remission of your sins, or having done so, you've turned away and you're looking to Jesus again, give me a second chance. We're going to extend the invitation of Jesus Christ, and all you need to do is to step out in this aisle, give me your hand, give God your heart, and it will be done. Shall we stand?